Lord, I thank you so much for the joy that it is to know your word. Because as we know your word, we know you. As we apply ourselves and study and work and discipline our lives to sit in these words, we understand that there comes to us transformation, power through your Spirit to change us and to show us more of who you are, what you've done, to give us more and a greater capacity to worship, to sing your praise. And Lord, we need this. We need this on so many levels. We also understand the call to obey, the call to go, the call to speak, initiate, to carry this gospel, as Emmett said, around the world. And so we pray, Father, that this word that you will bring us this morning would be coming to us in power. I pray that you would help me to be faithful to your word. That is my desire. I want to represent it well as your word, not my own. Lead us, Father, in all truth through your Spirit. We do this in honor of you and in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, join me in Philippians chapter 3. We've been journeying through this chapter. We're going to be covering today just two verses, verses 10 and 11. Now, I want to read these, though, with the context of chapter 3, verse 8. So let's start in verse 8, and then we're going to read them all through. Okay? So Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Now he breaks into song in verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Powerful words that come almost as an anthem on the heels of what Paul has just described. "I counted all of this loss that I may gain Christ. And when I gain him, there's something I'm after. There's something I want to see." And so we really see that Paul has a purpose in this. If you're taking notes, you can fill these blanks in as we go. Paul's purpose, I believe, here is simply stated, "I know him," verse 8. Verse 10, "I want to know him more." If you could sum up these verses, I think that would capture it. I know him. I've tasted of his love and his grace and his forgiveness in Christ, and I want to know him more. One commentator said, Paul has experienced Jesus as his Savior. Now he wants to experience him as Lord. What does it look like now? I know him. I want to know him more. If we could memorize this and put this in our minds when we think of these words, I know him. I want to know him more. Now the word that's used here is ginomai. Comes from the root word that's used in verse 8 to know, gnoskos. Okay? Now this is actually something I remembered from Greek class in college days. I'm pretty excited. I recognize this word. Doesn't always happen. But this word means more than just mental assent. This isn't just a knowledge of. This is experiential knowledge. It's a highly relating kind of term. I want to know him more means that which I know, I've experienced, that which I want to gain in knowledge comes as I live this thing out with him, to know him more, to know him more. So I was thinking, okay, now what could I relate this to in my own life? And I thought, boy, you know, there was this one time when I was in Bible school. I was a junior coming back in, kind of knew the ropes, been there 2 years. And there was this girl from Michigan. She had red hair, and she was just but a freshman on campus and needed someone, an upperclassman, to show her how this thing worked in downtown Chicago with all the gunfire and the busy streets and the noise and everything. So I gladly accepted the assignment, and we found ourselves on a date by the grace of God. Really cool story. We're on a date, and you know, the questions. Hey, tell me your story. What do you love? What shaped you growing up? What are some of the things that you hold close? What matters most in your life? I mean, it didn't take a long time for us to get to the heart of the matter. We were both intent on finding that one to marry, dating for the purpose of marriage. Let's stick to that. Save ourselves a lot of trouble. So I wanted to know a lot of things. I had a million questions for this girl. And she, in turn, had a million questions for me. This is the first picture we have together. A few years ago. Man, looking pretty good. No. We were there in Chicago. We went on a date, went on another date, and then another date. And I'm telling you what, we hit it off. It was just awesome. We were just like instantly connecting, and there was so much to talk about. All we really wanted to do was just talk, hang out. We had so much to discover, to learn, to know. And so there came this fateful point which everyone crosses in the relationship. I like to refer to this as the DTR. And I even put it on your notes. I don't know why. But for those of you who are not married yet, you will find helpful. Make sure the DTR happens. It means define the relationship. Define the relationship. Okay, there came a point. We've been on three dates. I said to Jen, in the most eloquent of words, hey, I like you. And then I said, and I think you like me. So it was about like that. It was not eloquent. It was me being very careful and nervously kind of just, how are we at? DTR, kind of want to know, where's this thing going? Because if we want to go and I know you and I'd like to know you more, then there's some things that we need to do to get this thing formalized. Let's define this thing. She said, yeah, I like you too. So we said, okay, then let's make this thing for real. I'll call your dad. I'll get his permission. We'll date. And we drew up a contract. We actually wrote and we signed on the dotted line. We dated that baby. These are the guidelines that we are going to live by as we interact and we walk. Here's some things we will not do. Here's some things that we will do. Here's some priorities in our relationship. Define it. And we made these commitments to each other and to the Lord and to our parents. I know you, Jenny. I want to know you more. Then it led us to this point. About a year later, I found myself on my knees saying words I'd thought a little more about. It came out something to the effect of, Jenny, I love you. I love you. I love what I know of you. And you know what? I want to spend all my days with you. I know you and what I know I love, and I want to know you more. I want to live my life with you till death do us part. And then another year later, here we were, making vows before God and before people. I commit till death do us part. In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, come what may, I'm in. I'm all in. I know you, and I want to know you more. Until I die, I'm in. I praise God for that day. I love doing weddings because it takes me back there to those vows, reminds me of that commitment again and again. Now, the glory of marriage is it displays for us in a very illustrative, tangible way what we have in our walk and interaction with God Himself. Christ, the groom, the church, the bride, the wedding feast of the Lamb that will come, so much of what we know in marriage is to illustrate this walk with God. I know Him, Paul says. I want to know Him more. Okay? So there's a connection for us that's ever in front of us, although it's in part. I think there's something far deeper here. The level of the soul that sets itself with clarity in Paul's heart, mind, and soul. He says, I know this Jesus, and I want to know him more. And amazingly, it leads him to say some things. First, I'm just saying, I want to know him more in life. That's the first blank to fill in. Just overall, to know him more. I'm after that. I want that. I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to get after that. That is a desire of mine, and I commit myself to it. I'm going to go after that. I want to know him more. Paul was not wearing the been there, done that, grew up in church, ho-hum kind of thing. He was not in, as we mentioned in Sunday school, he was not in some kind of cruise control thing, just floating along, yeah, whatever. Paul, as we said in past, he's the antonym of apathy. Paul is set to find more, to live more, to experience more of what it means to walk with this risen Christ. So he says, I want to know you more in life, I believe. And then specifically in life, he says this. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know him more, the power of his resurrection. Now, Paul, what are you talking about? The most potent display of the power of Jesus Christ was when, after 3 days of death, he said to death and sin and hell and Satan, be done. And he rose from the grave, raised his life up from death itself. The power of his resurrection, the dunamis, the power of Christ. I want to know that power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to know that. I want to experience that from day to day. Well, how is that possible? How can a Christian experience that kind of power? Absolutely. Absolutely. We have as a pledge, as a deposit, what we know of the Holy Spirit planted in the life of those who by faith say, you are my hope alone, Jesus. I lean upon you in all things. And the Holy Spirit then comes to live in the life of the believer, to be the power from within, to do the things that we cannot do on our own. Paul says in a million different places, it seems like, look, the law, powerless. There's no power there. In fact, he just described it here in these verses. I used to live for this stuff. Your empty law, your ritual, the stuff you used to do, there's no power there. He says in another part of Romans, the flesh, there's no power there. In fact, he says, sometimes I do what I don't want to do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. That I do, that I don't. I'm getting all confused. Basically, the flesh, you don't put your confidence there, Paul. There's no confidence in the law. There's no confidence in the flesh. But in Christ, there's power. You can put your confidence there. And then to live in that power, to experience what happens when someone says, by faith, I lean upon that power. Now, change me. And all of a sudden, outward action seems empty because there's transformation from within. There's a soul set ablaze to live for the glory of God that once only sat hardened and hollow. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And to this, everyone says, amen, yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. And then Paul moves on. And he says, I want to know him more through suffering. And everyone's like, yay, what? What? Paul, what are you talking about? I thought this was just rah-rah, you know, let's all get on the boat. Everything's good. Jesus comes in, we get rich, and we get a big smile, and we get that house we always wanted. Everything we do succeeds. But Paul, what are you talking about suffering for here? Why in the world would you say that in the middle of wanting to know Christ more? Well, you see, there's a gospel out there that leaves this out. And I would suggest it's a very hollow and empty gospel. Paul says, what I know of him, I will learn more. not only in life and experiencing the power of transformation, but I will see of this risen Christ, I will see his power, his grace, his goodness set on display in suffering. And I want to learn that. I want to experience that. In a sense, it's the vow. In sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, in good times and in bad, I am in. I'm in. Want to know more through suffering, to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. One thing I don't think Paul is referring to is that somehow we have to carry the weight of Christ and what he did on the cross. That's paid. What Jesus purchased on the cross, it's paid. The debt is gone. There is no more work that I have to do to contribute to this. I don't need to share in that suffering. But I do believe there's something here that Jesus lived out to be a faithful witness in a fallen world is to suffer. Jesus lived a perfect life. He knew no sin. To the law, obedience, perfection. To the flesh, tempted without sin, perfection. To the spirit, work, come in power, dependence. To live in this world as a Christian, one who sets after the following the example. They killed him who knew no sin. What do we expect would happen? Suffering is part of the Christian walk. It is. Paul says, everyone, 1 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Jesus' words himself assumed it. He just assumed it. So many ways. So, if then, I want to know him more, I want to see his power, the power that he rose Jesus from the dead, that power, I want to know him more in suffering, to share in it, become like him in his death, then as I live and as I am transformed through his power, and as I stand as a faithful witness in a fallen world, and as I suffer, what do I see of him? What do I know of him? You know, I love the book of Job. I love it. It's such a real book. It's raw. It's untamed. It reminds me that we live in a world that is run by a God in absolute control of all things. He holds Satan like a dog on a leash. And this is what Job said at the end of his suffering. I had heard of you by the word of the hearing of the ear, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. I had heard of you in times of plenty, when the storm was not existing, when the water was calm and there was no clouds in the sky, the birds were singing, all was well with my soul. I sang your praise. He said, that is like hearing. But then when everything I knew changed, and I lost all that I had. My health was gone. My friends had terrible things to say. My wife told me to curse God and die. All my children, dead. Everything I own, gone. Now I see you. I see you. So the difference between hearing about and seeing the risen Christ was the difference between prosperity in the time of suffering. Would that not be considered blessing? You see, when we walk with the risen Christ in this kind of power, we understand that blessing becomes redefined. We can see blessing when all the world sees is curse. Just curse him and die. And Job says, no, I see him now. MacArthur said it this way. The deepest moments of spiritual fellowship with the living Christ are at times of intense suffering. Look back over your life. You walk with the Lord. This isn't to say that we just look for ways to suffer. Suffering in itself, no. But that suffering, when God allows it in our lives, it can change us. We can see Him. We can experience His power, His love, His grace. I would say that if I were to chart my life, the ups and downs, the highs, the lows, and then take another line and chart those times where I feel like I was closest with the Lord, where I was most dependent, where I was most intimate with Him in my walk, my dependence, my prayer. Look at how that graph would go. He's in total control. There is no surprises for God. He ordains your days. No one can say how long life will last. No one can say that today, in your health, tomorrow, it will be gone. We don't know. What comfort is found in the fact that we are in, come what may. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen? To know Him more forever. He concludes with this, that by any means possible, verse 11, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Him forever. More and more and more and more. No matter what, this is my desire. My highest aim is to spend forever with Him. To live as Christ, to die as gain. It rings again and again and again. Now, Paul, we must say here, Paul's not suggesting that he's working at this, that this is somehow in his hands, that it might not happen. That would fly against all of what he said. I think what we see in here, in verse 11, especially as he says, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead, there's a humility that rings out. Paul knows himself as the chief of sinners. Who am I that I could live every day with this Jesus? I want that. It's amazing to consider that I could have that forever. It's an amazing thing to know Him more forever. So to be with Jesus Christ is worth the cost of any and all suffering we face this side of eternity. In fact, I would suggest it is the path through life. John Piper refers to this as faith in future grace. We have so much to anticipate in knowing for an eternity this Jesus and discovering one who is infinite in His goodness, in His greatness. And we, as finite created beings, will forever discover the fullness of Him one day, and the next day, an infinite amount more. We will never exhaust the width and the span of His excellence. And so as I live on this earth, I can hold loosely to things like money and stuff. All of the list that we wrote last week, that resume, that stuff it's wimpy compared to this over here, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. A few months back, we learned that Jen's grandfather was having some medical problems. And then we were out there for some of this. He was hurting, his stomach hurt, and doctors worked and worked and worked. They couldn't figure it out. Tried this, tried that, nothing was working. Well, just a number of days ago, they decided they need to operate. Now, this is a grandfather that Ethan, this would be his great-grandfather, Ethan dubbed him lovingly Papa Choo Choo. Grandpa loved trains, but I think more than trains, he loved to see the grandkids love trains and play and have fun. And so Papa Choo Choo went in for surgery. And in the midst of surgery, they discovered cancer all over his body, just spread. It's everywhere. We got the call just a number of days after that, yesterday morning. Papa Choo Choo went to heaven. He's gone. Now, to walk through the emotions of this. You never minimize the loss. We loved him. He's a great man. We're going to miss him. Things aren't the same. We don't minimize the reality of that. But there's something much bigger that gives comfort, that pushes us through the loss. I'll tell you what it is. It's that Papa Choo Choo knew him. And that today, Papa Choo Choo knows him more. More than ever, he knows him today than he did his whole life. And tomorrow, guess what? More and more and more and more. And someday, we're going to be up there. And the joy is going to be good. Yeah, we're back together with Papa Choo Choo. But that will just hold nothing compared to the joy and the worth of knowing him more. Christ, more and more. I tell you, heaven is not good because of streets of gold, or because all your relatives are going to be there and it's going to be a big party in the sky, or because all the sin is going to be gone and no cancer and all of that. Heaven is good because of one reason. We get to know him more every day. I know him. I want to know him more. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the words of Paul that came to us, to our family, on a week that we needed them. I thank you for your work, for the joy of knowing that Papa Choo Choo, by your grace alone, is walking in heaven and spending an eternity to know you more. I thank you for the joy of a funeral that will celebrate that. Even as we grieve with joy because we know that he was in Christ. Father, if there are some here today who say, you know, I'd like to say I know him, but I don't know if I know him. I don't know for sure. I just want to give an opportunity for that to happen this morning. You might be there and you might be sitting and saying, you know, I understand that there's things aren't what they need to be. I'm not walking with Christ. So you might pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner, that sin has separated me and my relationship, my walk with you. I look to you and the work that you accomplished on the cross, your victory over sin and death and hell. And I lean upon you now, repenting of my sin, turning to you, placing all of my belief and my hope in you alone to save me. I've seen you, I want to know you, and by faith and your grace from beginning to end, help me know you more today, tomorrow, forever. In Jesus' name, amen.